With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
You might have seen over the weekend on Q&A, they've been reasonably good to us. Jack Tame with Aisha Verrill, who was the former health minister in the Labor government, talking about public service cuts. I think she is now the public services spokesperson for Labor. And as we've heard, many jobs are being cut. So I thought we would have a chat this morning to ACT's public service spokesperson, Todd Stevenson, who joins me now. Hi, Todd. Welcome. First time to RCR. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me on. And it's good to be on your show.
Okay. So a bit of stress out there at the moment in the public service. The cuts are in the thousands. A couple of things that stood out from that interview. That is that Aisha Verrill is obviously satisfied that the proportion of the public service in terms of the greater labour market is about right. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't at all, Paul. I mean, we saw 18,000 extra, over 18,000 extra public servants added during Labor's time in government. She was challenged actually on the numbers a few times. We've said that the growth was about 39%. Jack Tame actually did the calculations for her using adjusted population, and it was still 25% growth. So it has been an extraordinarily amount of extra people added. What I thought was very, very telling, Paul, was Aisha Verrill admitted that for all of those extra public servants, New Zealanders aren't getting a better output from their government and the services they expect. I thought that was very, very interesting that she admitted that.
Okay, well, with that, why do you think so many were added? Is this just like coming up with fevered dream ideas and you just throw a whole lot of people at it, throw a bit of money at it and sort of wish and hope? That's the kind of feel I got.
Absolutely. I mean, what ACT has consistently said, we've campaigned on this, and now we're obviously part of the government delivering some cuts to what we say in back office services in the public service. But what it proves is you can't just, money doesn't fix problems, right? You can't just hire lots of extra people, throw a lot of extra money at it and hope that all is going to be well. You've actually got to have a plan for improving the quality of public services. And so in things like education, we had actually a lot of extra staff, added there, 64% increase in staff in education, for example. But educational outcomes are worse, right? And so that's a massive disconnect there. So, more money, more people isn't necessarily the answer. You've actually got to have targets, be focused about what you're trying to achieve and the standards you want to deliver.
Can we get our arms around how much this has cost?
Oh, well, billions and billions of dollars, right? And what you're going to see, Paul, is obviously as we move into the budget process in the next few weeks, the actual jobs will be, the confirmed back office cuts will be confirmed by each department. So you'll get some very clear outlines there of where the savings are going to be coming from. But yeah, this is an extraordinary growth in numbers. Aisha Verrill was challenged on all of these extra, what we would just call back office staff. So policy advisors, people that actually they're not on the front line. They're not delivering anything new. I mean, as an example, the Ministry of Pacific Peoples grew 269%, right? 269%. And they're not, they're people in Wellington, basically policy advisors, et cetera. They're not actually out there on the front line. And so, I think we're going to see a much more focused public service and one that actually is going to deliver things for Kiwis.
Do you think there was more of a strategy to growing the public service than just trying to sort of make policy ideas work? Was that some way of sort of padding it up for some sort of political advantage? Just curious what you think about that.
Well, it seems to be, like, it's hard for me to comment on that, but I think if you just look at the facts, you had a huge growth in the number of people employed. And by, you know, this is a senior Labor MP admitting that Kiwis don't feel like their expectations of the public services they are getting has improved. So whether it was a deliberate strategy or not, I'm not sure, but it certainly wasn't a competent one, because what you'd want is to actually set the outcomes you want to see from government services, and then you decide how they will be delivered. You don't just employ people at random.
You're talking about a lot of people, but it seems to have been quite a quick process in identifying these jobs to cut. So a lot's been going on behind the scenes, obviously, right?
Yes. So again, I mean, that's something that the ministers have been working on, obviously led by Nicola Willis, saying, you know, giving a target of the reductions across the different departments and then asking the CEOs of those departments to go away and look for those cuts and the people that will be removed without affecting, obviously, frontline services. We'll obviously, there's some details are starting to come out about that, but that'll all be locked down in the coming weeks.
Obviously, there'll be a lot of grumpy people following this, and I don't blame them. It's a very insecure feeling when you're facing down an uncertain future in uncertain economic times, I'll put it that way. And there does seem to have been, I don't know if undermining is the word, but criticism of the government, both in the media, in political circles, etc., of late. How do you sort of deal with that? You know, leaks, people, you know, sort of working against this. Any ideas on that?
Yeah, I mean, I am concerned about some of the things we've seen from public servants. As you just noted, there's been a few leaks, policy proposals and things coming out, being leaked, etc. New Zealand prides itself on having a political professional public service, and that's what should be maintained. It's actually inappropriate for public servants to be leaking against the government of the day. People can have their own personal opinions and ideas, but their job is to carry out the policies of the government of the day, and that needs to be done. If people can't do that in good conscience, then that's obviously not the right position for them. So I'm hoping we'll that message is starting to get through, and that people just get on doing what they need to do.
So are you saying that there won't necessarily be like a freeze on hiring, but it has to work and make sense if you're going to commit to increasing the size of any of the particular workforces within the public service?
Absolutely. Paul, you've actually hit the nail on the head. What you need to do is first set the outcomes you want to deliver. And so if we take education, we need to be very clear about what is the educational outcomes we're wanting to deliver. And obviously we've talked a lot about improving or having more time spent on maths and English, actually getting people back to school. As you know, truancy rates are extremely high here in New Zealand. So you've actually got to set the standards you actually want to deliver and the things you want to achieve. And then you go about looking at how that's done. In some cases, you might need very specific roles to help deliver that, or it might be some completely other type of policy, public policy lever. I mean, if you take school truancy, the one that Minister Seymour is doing at the moment is first actually publishing the truancy results in a timely manner so we can actually see as Kiwis what's going on every week, and then it'll be every day. And then looking at what are the particular issues, like what is driving truancy, and then starting to drill down into those.
I noticed you mentioned education first, that in a response to a question in that Q&A meeting, re-education, she cited a more inclusive education system. She didn't say that, and I might have missed it, that, you know, kids were achieving better or had lifted it. It was all about inclusivity, which seems to miss the point, doesn't it?
Well, actually, she had to admit in that interview, Paul, that was the only thing she could name that she said had improved, is that the education system was more inclusive. Well, that isn't actually, that might be nice to do, but she had to admit that education standards had not improved, right? So, you know, basics in reading and numeracy, et cetera, had not improved. And in fact, you know, as I just talked about earlier, we've seen a huge increase in truancy. So I just think, you know, I think this points the entire problem under the previous Labor government. They didn't think about what they were trying to achieve and then task the public service with that. They just basically gave a whole lot of money to different programs, different departments without actually any measurable outcomes or any strategy.
And is it your call that the public service is heavily left-leaning?
Again, I mean, I think there are a lot of really dedicated public servants who actually do want to get on with their jobs and actually do things. I think there was a total lack of leadership under the previous government. So, look, I'm sure there are, like all parts of society, Paul, people will have different political leanings, etc. But I think it's maintaining political neutrality is the most important thing. And then actually giving leadership to these government departments about what needs to be done to actually improve outcomes and outputs in our public service. That's the most important thing.
Last question. A lot of people would say that the most recent Labor government anyway was a kind of a disaster, really, in a way. Do you agree with that?
Look, I returned last year to run for ACT. I find it actually shocking, the state of our country. Obviously, we've got very high cost of living, and I know people are doing it really tough out there, Paul. You know, you've had increase in, you know, mortgage prices, rents, petrol, groceries.
Rates.
You know, we need to get rates, et cetera, electricity, everything, right? It's just really, really tough. And the last government didn't understand actually how the economy works. Borrowed lots of money, as I said, pumped lots of money into the economy, particularly into the public service, but without actually any outcomes that they were trying to deliver. You know, this government is now trying to turn that around. It's going to take a bit. But what I would say is the stakeholders I'm dealing with appreciate, there's a lot of goodwill out there, should I say, Paul, you know, in some of the areas I'm involved in, particularly health. People just want to be, they want to be listened to. They've actually got some ideas about what can be done. And we just need to harness the goodwill and actually turn this country around.
Todd, is it like the adults being back in the room? Kind of feels
that way. Some people
have
said that. I think so. You've got to actually be very targeted about what you're trying to achieve in government. You can't just do a scattergun approach. You can't just throw money at different things. I mean, another great example in health, Paul, was the $1.9 billion. Let me say that again, $1.9 billion that was announced for mental health. Mental health in this country is still in a crisis. I've actually talked to people in the sector. They have no idea where that money went. No idea at all.
That's a huge amount of money.
It isn't it?
Even spending it is hard, right?
Correct. And then to see no improvement in outcomes just tells me everything you need to know about the approach of the last government.
Well, we need to find out who got those funds, don't we?
Yeah, it's very unclear. I mean, I've asked a number of people, even in the sector, and they really don't know.
Todd Stevenson, Public Service Spokesperson for ACT. Thanks for coming on RCR. Nice to have a quick chat. I'm sure we'll do it again.
Thanks, Paul. I'm welcome. I'm happy to come back anytime.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.